To our readings now, and we've got two today. And the first is from Isaiah chapter 28, verses 14 to 18. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers who rule this people in Jerusalem. You boast, we have entered into a covenant with death. With the realm of the dead, we have made an agreement. When an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it cannot touch us. For we have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place. So this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge, the lie, and water will overflow your hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with the realm of the dead will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge sweeps by, you will be beaten down by it. And the second reading is from Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Hannah. The first time I ever climbed Scafell Pike, the guy I went up with, who knows the Lake District like the back of his hand, cut me off left from the corridor and took me up a scree slope. I kid you not, it was a killer. Every time you put your foot in the scree, it went down further than you'd actually arose, and it just took forever to get to the top of that scree slope and then out onto the top where you could go to the top of Scafell Pike. I felt like that in my life 20 years ago. Everything in under my feet was crumbling. Actually, it wasn't under my feet, it was in here, and in here was crumbling. And 20 years ago, I ended up off work for the best part of 6 months. Burnout, breakdown, call it what you will. I was on tranquilizers, I was having counseling, and didn't know whether I would ever get back into the ministry, which was a very, very scary place to be. And what I found out was that it would have been very easy to be able to point the finger at and say, well, it's the church's fault, or it's the people in the church's fault, and it's his fault, and it's her fault. And actually, as my counselor, who was a godly, godly retired pastor who was just brilliant with me, slowly kind of listened to me and kind of unbolted me and got me into bits on the floor, he began to realize that actually the fault was all in here. And some of the stories I was telling myself, some of the things I believed in internally were just not healthy. They weren't healthy for me in my own mental health and my own well-being. They weren't healthy for me spiritually. And I needed to kind of rebuild, and he very graciously, very carefully, actually over quite a long period of time, slowly, slowly, slowly built me back up. I'm not there yet. I don't know if I ever will be, but I'm a long, long way on. That's 20 years ago. And I don't know about you, but I know this for sure, that at some point in your life, if it hasn't already, you will face things that will absolutely rock your foundation to the core. For some of you who are younger, it may be you struggle with your GCSEs or your A-levels and you don't achieve what you really thought you were going to achieve, and suddenly the world is a different place because that university place just disappeared out of your grasp and your world is rocked to the core. Some of you are facing deeply serious illness in your family. And it's rocking your world. It didn't just rock it when you got the bad news. It's continuing to rock and to shake it. Some of you are going through tough relationship stuff. That's just again, it's hit you, and the foundation of your world, it just suddenly feels like there's this earthquake under your feet. What do you do when you get into those situations? Like I said, I felt like I was on this scree slope, and one picture I had at the time was I'd kind of done my best over a period of 2 or 3 years to kind of scrabble up this scree slope and to got to the point where I was just so utterly emotionally and mentally exhausted. I just felt like I just went like that and let go. And I just bumbled down that scree slope to land in a heap at the bottom, in an utter mess. I just want to tell you, the leadership of this church at that time were absolutely brilliant with me. I went to a leadership one night and I just dissolved. We had an agenda to get through, and all they could deal with was this blob on the floor that was me. And they were absolutely superb, loving, caring, supportive. Kicked me off to the GPs and said, whatever he says, you do. GP signed me off straight away for 3 months, just like that. Which kind of lets you know how bad I was. But what do you do when your foundation rocks you to the core and you feel like you're on shaky sand or a scree slope? Well, Jesus actually, in this picture, this parable that we're trying to look at through Middle Eastern eyes, does something quite simple and quite amazing. He contrasts two very different people. That's all he does. And some of you know the story very, very well. Most of us know the story from Matthew's gospel, where Matthew shares the story, and one man's house is on rock, and the other man's house is on sand. So we sing a song. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rain came tumbling down, and the house came tumbling flat. So you know that song. Thank you, Reuben. See, I could be a worship leader, you just won't let me. And he does that contrast. Jesus contrasts here two men. One dug his foundations deep, and he laid the foundation on the rock. The storms came against that rock, and they could not shake it. Simple. That's all. Jesus said, "The man who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the man who built his house on a rock." So whatever life throws at him, whatever storms of life throw at him, illness, relationship difficulties, failures, breakdowns, whatever happens, somehow just standing on that rock holds his life together and keeps it firm. He dug down deep. I love that. Whoever hears my words and puts them into practice is like the man who dug down deep. And I guess one of the greatest calls we have when we take a hold of God's word is to dig down deep into it, to be reading it, to be living it, because Jesus said, hear my words and put them into practice, to dig down deep and let God deal with our lives. So we practice it. One of the problems we've got with that is that do we really trust God with the stuff from his word that would challenge our lives? I don't know if you're reading the Bible through every day with Holy Trinity Brompton, the HTB, Nicky Gumbel stuff, but I think it was this morning you were reading this long list of prohibitions in Leviticus, which are things like you can't sleep with your stepmother. You actually can't sleep with somebody who's of the same sex as you. You can't sleep with your neighbour's wife. So, are you going to put that stuff into practice? And you think, hang on a minute, it sounds like God's a bit of a killjoy and he doesn't want me to have any fun. And this world says, it doesn't matter, as long as you're not hurting everybody, anybody, it's up to you. As long as it's consensual, it's up to you. But Jesus says, no, hang on a minute, are you going to dig down deep and get a hold of my word and put it into practice? Because if you want to stand the storms of life, doing things my way actually will help you. It will keep your house intact. There's another brilliant bit in Proverbs we haven't got to yet, but I love it. It's just this kind of like snapshot of a guy who's drinking too much. And the writer of the Proverbs says to his son, it's not for you to drink wine or strong drink, my son. He said, you're a prince. Stay away from that stuff because you'll have bad judgments. The guys who drink too much, they're the ones who wake up in the morning with bloodshot eyes. They're the ones who wake up in the morning with bruises on their face. They're the ones who feel like their life is in the rigging of a ship and they're being tossed back and forth. And all they can think about is when they wake up in the morning is, oh, if only I could find another drink. And the writer of Proverbs says, hang on, my son, are you going to be like that? Are you going to stand on my, are you going to dig down deep and actually live it out? When you get off to university and Freshers' Week is all about getting drunk and, forgive me, getting laid, are you going to dig down deep and stand on my word and live out my word? Because by doing that, you'll find that your foundations are sure. Now, those are just a couple of little examples, but one of the things we love to do with God's word is we read it and we go, oh yeah, God's word's great, we agree with it. James says if you do that, it's like looking in the mirror and thinking, I don't like what I see, but then walking away and thinking you're handsome. We read God's word and it reflects back to us and challenges us and we go, oh yeah, that's challenging, isn't it? Close the book and walk away. Jesus says, no, hear my words, put them into practice. Dig down deep. And when you do that, nothing will shake your life. But then this guy who just builds his life on no foundations. He's not dug down deep. He's not got a hold of God's word. And he finds that when the storms of life come against him, it collapses. 1993 in Israel, a whole tower block collapsed and about 30 families had to be evacuated. Thankfully, nobody killed. What had happened was that this block had been built just on the surface. And there'd been heavy rains and a sewer had broken and the waters from the sewer had just slowly, slowly undermined the shallow foundations of that building to the point that it just utterly collapsed. And in Israel, you've got two choices. You have to build in summer because you've only got this short window of building and getting through the very hard bronze-like clay soil. It can be absolutely hard as rock, but if you don't break through it and get down to the rock, which can be anything from right there on the surface, and it's obviously rock, to 10 feet down. But if you don't do it, then it's liable that you end up building on this unbelievably hard clay, bronze-like clay. And when the winter rains come, they slowly, slowly soak into that clay, make it like kind of spongy, and your house will come down. And Jesus said, if you don't put my words into practice, you might hear them, but if you don't put them into practice, then you might be like the person whose house is built on no foundation at all. So what might you be building on? You might be building on ambition. If only I could get a great job that's going to guarantee a secure income and it's going to give me some sense of self-importance, sense of self-worth. I'm reading a book at the moment by a guy called Glyn Harrison. It's called The Ego Trip. And he's a psychiatrist, and he's looking at the whole issue of how do we get to a world where we believe that one of the most important things in this world is having a sense of self-worth. And he's showing how that over the last century, some of the psychiatric and the psychological theories built up and built up and built up to a point where there's this tipping point when it's all about self-worth. And he says, hang on a minute, if we live in a world that's all about self-worth and it's just about learning to value yourself, how come we're also living in a world where mental health difficulties and people's doubts about themselves, people's hatred of themselves, people's valuing of themselves is shot to bits? He's saying, those two just don't marry. Ego trip. And he says some of it is about if I can just have the right ambition and gain the right kind of honor in what I'm doing, maybe that's going to be the rock I stand on. Some of it is finance. Our trust is in our bank balance. Well, I've saved up enough now. I'm fine. I've got my pension. It's all sorted out. I'm going to be fine. For some of us, it's our family. Family is everything. And if you made a list of importances, it would be family first. And then maybe God second, if we're Christians, and maybe church third. And for those of us who are leaders of families or parents in families, can I encourage you? The foundation of your family life is God first. It's not family first. Now, you know me, I'm a family man. I've got three beautiful daughters, been married nearly 40 years, got six great grandkids. I love being with my family. But God first, always, always God first. Maybe it's relationships. If I can just get the right friend, the right boyfriend, the right girlfriend, if I can just have the right relationship. And then that'll be it, that'll be okay, it'll settle down, and then it's not quite right, so we move on, and we move on, and we find that our world begins to rock because we're not fixed. And I've already mentioned this book by Glyn Harrison that really challenges the whole notion of thinking it's all about self. So what's going to rock your world? What do you think could happen in your life, in your world, that could bring you the foundations of you, bring the foundations of me crumbling and falling down? And Jesus said, the absolute bedrock of our lives has got to be this utter, utter willingness to hear his word. And whatever the cost, put it into practice. If we're willing to do that, Jesus said, you're digging down deep and you're setting the stall of your life in a great way. So what's that rock like? I just want to turn that around a few moments and just think about that rock. In Mark chapter 12, verse 10, Jesus speaks about himself. And he says, the stone the builders have rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, Psalm 118, the Lord has done this and it's marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118 is one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament. So when people like Peter and Paul are preaching, they talk about Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone or the main stone. And the passage that Hannah read from Isaiah speaks about that as well. Reading Kenneth Bailey, this guy who wrote the book Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, one of the things he picks up on this is really, really powerful. Well, it is to me. I hope it is for you. And he says that in the temple in Jerusalem in those days, because the Ark of the Covenant had been lost, most of you thought Harrison Ford found it in the Steven Spielberg movie. No, it is lost. It's remained lost. They've been lost. What they did when they built the second temple and then Herod's temple that they knew in Jerusalem, in the very, very holiest place, there was no ark. There was a very low, shallow, 2-3 inch high, raised stone platform. And on the Day of Atonement, that's the annual day in Israel where the priest made a sacrifice so that the sins of the whole of the nation could be cleaned and forgiven. He would take into the very Holy of Holies and put it down on that stone place. He would just simply take a burning fire of incense. So he'd made the sacrifice for sin. An animal had been killed in place of the whole people, and out of that, off that fire, with incense, he would take that and place it on the Holy of Holies, on this stone platform. Now, when the ark was on that platform, the top of the ark had two cherubim, two angels whose wings touched, and on the Day of Atonement, he would have gone and put blood there. Now, that was called the mercy seat. That was the place where people knew that the very presence of God had the forgiveness, the blood that had been shed for their forgiveness. It was there in the presence of God. But now it's just a stone table, a low stone table. But it's still the place of the presence of God. It's still the place where once forgiveness has been made, the priest would take incense, the prayers for forgiveness, and place them on that rock. Now hear Jesus say, I lay in Zion a stone. Now hear Jesus say, I'm that stone. Now hear Peter say of Jesus in 1 Peter 2:7, to you who believe this stone is precious, but you who do not believe, the stone the builders has rejected has become the cornerstone. That's powerful, isn't it? That the place for you to stand now is in the holy place, in the forgiven place, in the place of the presence of God. But the place for you to stand is on Jesus. The place where your life is not going to get rocked, and it will get rocked. You get a powerful illness, you get a massive relationship breakup, your world rocks, but the place to stand is on Jesus. The place to stand is in Him. And holding on to Him, whatever happens, is absolutely the number one vital thing you can do in that time. And Jesus said, that's who I am. Now dig down deep. Dig down to the rock to get your life grounded. But you're grounding it in me. You're not grounding it in you. You're not grounding it in pop psychology that says just your worth and your self-worth will get you through. You're grounding it in Him and Him alone. Peter speaks on the day of, not the day of Pentecost, a couple of days after Pentecost in Acts chapter 4. And he says this, it's by the name of Jesus whom you crucified, who God raised. And verse 11, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Standing on Jesus. Paul says it to the Ephesian churches. When he speaks about the very temple and kind of imagines that the temple has been flattened and Jesus is building it. And he's building it with you and with me. But he says he's building it with you and with me, living stones. But guess what we're standing on? Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone. So whatever you do, can I encourage you? Can I plead with you? However you live your life, it's got to be Jesus first. It's got to be grounded and founded in Him, in who He is, in what He says, and living that out. And doing that, whatever hits you, whatever earthquakes, whatever storms, and Jesus didn't say there wouldn't be storms, whatever storms, you won't collapse. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this really powerful picture of these two buildings. But equally, we're aware that there's an incredible challenge about learning to ground ourselves wholly on you and you alone, and then being prepared to live out your word. And whatever challenges it brings, whatever cost there is to it, to trust that being obedient to your word is absolutely foundational for who we are. It's foundational for how we are. Thank you that the psalmist was able to write that God is the rock of my salvation. He's able to write, out of the depths I cry to you, God. I was in a miry pit and I cried to you and I waited patiently for you and you lifted me out of that miry pit and you placed my feet on solid rock. The Lord is the rock of my salvation. So hear the word of God tonight. Let his Holy Spirit speak it into our lives, into my life, to challenge us, shape us. Help us make some powerful decisions about how we live. So our obedience to him, our standing on him, actually becomes who we are. Just before we reflect on that in worship, as we prayed before the service began, one person who prayed had a powerful picture of people actually being chained. And they come in tonight and there's just so much stuff holding you back and chaining you down. And just a sense that God wants to totally rip those chains off you and set you free tonight. And Graham Chastney had a word as well, but I'm not sure I can recall it well enough. So Graham, will you just speak that out, please? Yeah. Thanks, Graham. So the picture of the rock, foundation, picture of the chains being broken. Just let God speak into your life. Don't be afraid to ask for prayer from the prayer team. And as we continue in worship, some of the songs give us a brilliant opportunity just to come and root ourselves back again, to stand on Jesus, our rock and our Redeemer. So let's respond in worship. Thanks, team.